Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Abe Hamilton. You're listening to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We've been talking about a lot of things the last hour, and as it relates particularly to the presidential election, which is less than a month away, right, Abe?
Yes.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's ahead in most national polls by, what, 5-6 percentage points?
5-6 points, and that says a lot historically. Nobody who's ever been down this much this close to the election has ever won.
And then I'm this afternoon we get off the air, I'm going to go look at the swing states, because that's, you know, if she's leading by 5-6 points in the swing states, of course, you know, you've still got time to change some minds for some people. That I think the percentage of people that are open to having their mind changed at this point are minimal, maybe 10%, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I think there was a survey said 85% of the people have already made up their mind.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's true?
I do. I think that is true.
And so they've already factored in all the scandals around Hillary Clinton. They've already factored in all the scandals around, if that's what you want to call them. By scandal, I mean that, like that videotape last week. I call that, that's not really a, of Donald Trump saying lewd things. That's not a scandal in the sense that it's illegal or had investigations or anything like that. So it's not on the same par with, say, destroying evidence when you're under subpoena, for example. That's not on the same level. But I'm just saying, everybody's factored in the negatives. Let me put it that way. Everybody's sort of factored in the negatives about Hillary Clinton and about Donald Trump and decided which one of those they're going to go with anyway, right?
A couple of the swing states as of yesterday, Virginia, Clinton is up by 9, according to this Roanoke College poll. Pennsylvania, Clinton is up by 4 there.
Is this like yesterday?
Yesterday. This is yesterday.
By 4?
By 4.
3 is usually, I don't know what those numbers of people survey with, 3 is usually the margin of error.
Yeah.
Percentage points. But so she's, as today, she's, or yesterday, she's showing as being up by 4 in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, yeah. And 9 in Virginia.
Okay, what else?
I had 1 in North Carolina. Let me see.
I can't believe we're talking about Republicans potentially losing North Carolina. Of course, yeah. Barack Obama won North Carolina.
Barack Obama won it in 08, and Mitt Romney won it in 12.
Yeah, North Carolina, you think, well, that's a solid conservative state. Well, not anymore, for a presidential election.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Clinton, as of Monday, Clinton was up 1 in North Carolina.
Okay, that's a virtual tie. What about Florida and Ohio? You got anything on that?
I don't have those up. Whoop, yes, I do. Clinton was up 4 as of Monday. That's Monday in Ohio and Florida. Clinton was up 3 as of Monday.
Okay. Well, you know, Donald Trump has just been taking incoming fire from.
You got to know they had that tape long ago. They just waited to drop it right before that debate because nobody drops news on a Friday evening. And so the only reason why they did it that day, it was the last day of the week leading into the debate that was on Sunday. So,
also, it overshadowed the WikiLeaks revelation.
Exactly.
Folks, you remember when the Democrat primary was going on and Bernie Sanders was going against Hillary Clinton? And Bernie Sanders, you know, he built his whole campaign on being anti-Wall Street, anti-big banks, anti-big money.
That sounds laughable now.
Yeah, that's who Bernie Sanders was. I didn't understand it, all that completely, but I do know that he basically he says he's a Democrat socialist, so he doesn't like
the money.
He doesn't like greed, and you know some of the things that he would have said about Wall Street banks, we would probably agree with him on.
Unless he gets a new house on beachfront property.
Exactly. However, that was his whole thing. And he kept saying to Hillary Clinton, and his surrogates did, hey, you gave speeches, secret speeches to Wall Street insiders.
Release the transcripts.
Yeah, that's what Bernie Sanders said. Release the transcripts. And she wouldn't do it. She would not do it. But she tried to align herself with Sanders' philosophy. You know, I'm one of you, Bernie supporters. I'm not a Wall Street insider. As it turns out, the reason she didn't release the speeches, which I read she was paid $250,000 per speech and gave three of them.
Yep.
That better be a humdinger of a speech. I mean, you better have Elvis better come out. If you're going to charge me $250,000, you better impersonate Elvis as well as giving a great speech. But anyway, $250,000. So as it turns out now, one of the reasons that Hillary Clinton did not want these speeches, I'm getting back to what happened Friday night with the Trump tape, because at the same night was the night that the contents of some of these speeches that she gave to the Wall Street insiders were released to the through WikiLeaks. Now, her campaign neither denied or confirmed, as they're doing with any of these WikiLeaks. But what she said in there was the most startling things that she said in that speech to Wall Street is that she longs for the day for open borders. Okay, now I'm paraphrasing on the longs for the day. I don't know, but that's her sentiment.
Yeah.
She's saying, I can't wait till we have open borders. The open borders is an exact quote.
Yeah.
And that goes beyond trade. Beyond trade. She's talking about having no borders. That's what these globalists and these secular progressives, that's what they're about, is a one world type government. That's their dream.
Yep.
And so the way you promote that is you say we don't need borders. Borders are meaningless, and we shouldn't have them. They restrict us. And so that's what she said. So back to your question to me, Donald Trump's video comes out, right, where he's making these crude, lewd comments. That's a bombshell.
Yeah.
And so that the same night, her open borders comment is revealed.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get that. Doesn't get any play. That's not sexy.
And it still won't.
And the liberal media, who is with Clinton, doesn't want to talk about her thing about open borders because they know that potentially hurts her and plays into Trump's message.
Yeah.
So, but she said open borders. Of course, we practically had that the last 8 years because President Obama, truth be known, he wouldn't say this publicly like she did privately. He's the same way. He wants open borders, you know, because you open borders. Ultimately, they want to turn Texas blue. If they can turn Texas blue, then the Republican Party is dead in America today, and you'll only have maybe a Democrat Party, and maybe Bernie Sanders or some of his ilk will form an even more liberal party.
In terms of presidential politics.
What?
I said in terms of presidential politics.
Yes, presidential politics. Conservatives and Republicans will be able to win on a state level, governorships, even Congress, Senate races, those kinds of things, for a long time to come. I'm not saying that. But I mean the death of the Republican Party as having any chance of winning the presidency.
Uh-huh.
It's already stacked against them now with the Electoral College, and big cities basically control the presidential election now because the Democrats have California, New York, and Illinois.
Right off the bat.
And they don't even have to work for them.
No.
And so you got that going for you, then Republicans have to sweep. I don't care who it is, Donald Trump, Mitt Romney, whoever, they have to sweep a lot of those swing states.
Yeah, because California has 55 electoral votes. New York has 29, so that's 84. And then you have 20 in Illinois.
Yeah.
So you're at 104 right off the bat. You're over a third of the way there without having...
Yeah, and if you don't think about it, think about your campaign. You got all this money, and people say, "Well, we need to spend some in California." No, you don't. You don't have to spend any in California. Democrats got that, even if their candidate is Bozo the Clown. They're going to vote
is
for...
Is that Hillary Clinton's alias?
I did not say that.
Oh, okay.
I say Bozo the Clown would win California over any Republican.
Oh, I thought... Okay.
Yeah. No, don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. I won't put mouth on your words.
Hey, Dr. Alec... we need to bring Dr. Alec McFarland.
This is getting crazy.
There's nothing to me saying... Bozo the Clown, and then Dr. Alex McFarland. That's just merely coincidental that they're side by side in this conversation. Alex,
no connection intended.
No, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, brothers. It's great listening to you.
Hey, you live in the Charlotte area, right?
Yes, sir.
My question: Abe and I were talking about North Carolina. He said the latest polling showed Hillary Clinton up. What'd you say?
1%. That was Monday. So I don't have
Monday,
more recent than that.
And in polling out of North Carolina, I don't know what poll that was. But my I said to Abe, I said, North Carolina used to be considered a solid conservative state. What happened?
You know, really, there are kind of four pockets of liberalism in North Carolina, and I'll go from the east to the west. Down on the coast, you've got Wilmington with its film industry. And I know I'm generalizing a little bit. Then up near Raleigh and Chapel Hill and Duke, you've got, you know, NC State, Duke, and Chapel Hill. The universities are generally pockets of liberalism. And then you've got Charlotte, which is a big metropolitan area, and then Asheville in the west, that a lot of, like, new agey kind of gay activism and occult activity, frankly, up in Asheville. You know, right there near the home of Billy Graham and Ridgecrest and the Cove, it's like Satan has this counteroffensive, and there's a lot of occult activity. So while North Carolina, my home state of most of my life, I lived in Colorado for a while when it was my privilege to work for James Dobson, but North Carolina has been largely conservative, but it's been, in recent years, the presence of liberalism around these four urban areas has definitely been felt.
Well,
and of course, let me say this. And of course, Charlotte is just an epicenter of the gay agenda. It really is.
Yeah, we've seen that with the HB2 battle, and you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, folks, on American Family Radio. You're listening to American Family Radio. We appreciate you joining us. We hope you'll keep listening throughout the day. I'm Tim Wildman with Abe Hamilton. We're joined by Dr. Alex McFarland in North Carolina. Alex, earlier in the program, you didn't hear this, and I know you've talked about this before. Trying to sensitively address some of the concerns of our brethren out there who say they don't feel like they can vote for any one of these candidates, either of these candidates, because of, you know, certainly they disagree with Hillary Clinton on a lot of things, abortion being one of them, certainly. But they would say, well, I can't vote for Mr. Trump either because he has bad character, and I just can't support that. And I was making some analogies about how we, and I said, don't, you know, character does matter, and we but we're left with two choices here now. One of them's going to be president, and I said, if you had two choices, you had cancer and you got two doctors and they both cheat on their wives, one of them can remove your cancer, the other one is a terrible doctor and you're probably gonna lose your life, would you say I'm not going to either one of them because they're both immoral people? Or would you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I was in a round table last night, and let me just say this, though. Yesterday afternoon, I was on a conference call. In fact, American Family's Rob Chambers was on this call, too, and we were talking with George Barna of the Barna Research Group, who estimates as of this week, and of course things change almost hourly, it seems like, but Barna fears that of evangelical Christians, maybe 44% plus won't even vote.
Why? And, why won't they vote? Because they don't know what's going on, or
neither candidate is desirable, and the remarks of Mr. Trump that surfaced last week on that 11-year-old tape are especially odious. And they are. Let me preface what I'm about to say by saying, look, what we learned about that tape from Friday, in no circumstance whatsoever are those types of remarks appropriate. That kind of language is inappropriate, and categorically we reject that type of talk. That's not acceptable in any circumstance. But, you know, we are talking about the defense of the Constitution, religious liberty, life, Second Amendment rights. We're talking about the rule of law, foreign policy.
The Supreme Court for a generation.
Oh, my goodness. And I was part of a roundtable last night at a university, and basically I was the only preacher in the building that would say, even so, and several said two things that we should talk about. One was, how could, in the 90s, conservatives call for the impeachment of Bill Clinton, but give this a pass, and we can speak of that. But the other thing was, how can you, as a Christian, you know, sully yourself by such a vote? And I think about this. It's almost like this. Okay, we back away. We let Hillary win. The Constitution is in jeopardy. More abortions take place. The gay agenda moves forward. America is lost. The Supreme Court is thrown away. Woo, but at least we didn't vote for a man who says bad words. Yeah, I mean, that's
I know.
Mindset.
I know. I know. That's why I'm just challenging people to rethink this thing if they've said, well, I'm just writing him off. I'm not going to vote for either one of them. Abe, what do you think about what Alex just talked about there?
I think Alex frames the issue in a way that, in a brass tacks type of fashion. And I think part of the recoil is, and I said this to somebody in private, I said that there are a lot of Christians who have been redeemed and delivered from all types of things, you know, and they have they know about Donald Trump's philandering ways in a general sense, but his historical philandering ways.
Wait,
but
Donald Trump wrote about him.
Right.
And he's a, you know.
Right, but how long ago did that book come out?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Details.
This is a while, this is long, so, a few years back.
And so when they heard the tape, a lot of people had just a knee-jerk, visceral.
As if it happened last week.
Exactly. And I think that is the effect that the release of the recording has had on people. But I think Alex presents a brass taxis analysis that has to be considered. Are we willing? And this is kind of how I said it. Does this tape make you comfortable with giving the White House to Hillary Clinton? I mean, is the specter of, as Alex said, selling yourself a worse consideration than Hillary Clinton being in the Oval Office?
What about my point? And folks, our analysis here is not based on parties, Republican or Democrat, necessarily, although you do need to look at the party platforms because they're strikingly different on moral issues, social issues, constitutional issues. That is important.
That's a great point.
But we're not promoting parties. We're talking about where the candidates stand on the issues. That is what we're looking at here.
Exactly.
Regardless of all the other noise that's out there or videotapes or things of that nature. But we're down to two now. As I've said, Alex, we're down to two. We can pretend we can pretend like we're not, but we're down to two. I asked somebody last night, Alex, I said, it wasn't last night, it was the other night. But anyway, I was talking to a fellow Christian and they were struggling with, you know, whether or not they could vote for Trump or not. And again, I hope I'm not sounding like dismissing that thought process, because I'm not, but we're challenging people to think a little more big picture here. But I said, you know, it's easy, especially if you live in a state you already know who's going to win. Okay,
say,
for example, if you live in a state where you know Donald Trump's already going to win, then it's easy to say, well, I'm just not going to vote for either one of them because I just I don't want to sully myself, and I got to stand before the Lord and give an account, and I'm just not going to do it. And I would ask you, what if the election came down to your vote? What if
many elections in history have.
Well, but think about this. This is the real test, not your philosophical, theoretical.
And let me say this so you can get back to your theoretical. The last election where Romney versus Obama came down to 4.5 million votes total.
Really? Nationwide?
Total.
And had they been distributed a little bit differently, then...
There were 20 to 30 million Christians who did not vote at all.
Right.
So...
Right. So, here, let me finish this point. It was 30 seconds. So I ask you, if it came down to you and you could pick, and you can't pick a third candidate. That is not realistic. That is fantasy land. Okay? You have to pick between two people. And your vote will pick the next president. And I said to you, do you choose Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? One of them will be president, and it's your choice because it's your vote that counts. That's the question you need to ask yourself rather than, Tim, I'm just not going to vote. That's a cop-out.
It is. And you know, if you can't stomach the personality whose name is on the ticket, I mean, just think about the platform. It is constitutionalism, point of law, human life, First Amendment rights, religious freedom, our relationship with the nation of Israel, fighting terrorism. That's the Republican platform.
Well, how about illegal immigration, which is...
Oh, my goodness.
A big problem. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. The progressives want to... Folks, believe it. Believe it. The progressives want to deconstruct America by allowing an unvetted, uncontrolled flow of immigrants into the country that will...
It's already changing our country. And it will change us permanently if it's allowed to stand. This is one of Mr. Trump's big issues when he first started, was we have to have borders or we don't have a country. Well, the internationalists, the globalists, like Hillary Clinton, they don't believe in borders. She said as much. She said exactly that. So, go ahead. We got 1 minute.
Well,
go ahead.
April of 2015 in New York at the International Symposium for Women, Hillary said, regarding the gay agenda and abortion, Hillary said, quote, deeply held religious convictions will have to change, end of quote. This is about our ability to live for Christ, proclaim the gospel, and win souls. This is important on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I would urge people to fast and pray and vote.
Yeah, it's so much is at stake here with whoever the next president is. And you just have to look further, folks, and think deeper than a videotape from 11 years ago. Of course, that's not the only thing that's hurt Donald Trump over the past year in terms of temperament and character. But I'm just saying, I'm just begging you to think big picture here and think long term, and don't just react on the emotions of the moment of seeing a videotape. Alex, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
God bless you, fellas.
Abe, thanks, brother.
I don't know if I did enough to get a thanks, but...
Yeah. Well, you did. You did really well. And, folks, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. You take care. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.